Let's turn to Psalm 137. I'm sorry, 136. Psalm 136. Your Schofield Bible, page 665. And we're going to read the entire psalm. We'll read the verses responsively. Psalm 136, page 665 in your Schofield Bible. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt of their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for His mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, His servant, for His mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. And let's pray. Father, we thank You for the message of this psalm. We thank You for that which You've given our preacher to give to us based on this scripture. How good You are. How wonderful it is to be Your child. How blessed it is to be a part of this great church body. We pray that You'd bless tonight. Grant Your power and help in the life of every hearer, every believer, and especially our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
You sounded like Catholic Mass a while ago. And His mercy endureth forever. And His mercy endureth forever. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us now in the time of our death. You tickle me. You'd make pretty good Catholics, I tell you for sure. This is sort of a Thanksgiving message tonight, and sort of not. In fact, I'll tell you when I get through what it was sort of, as we've sorted out. But I want to talk to you tonight and sort of let you enter into a few moments of my Thanksgiving day. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight for this wonderful book. I thank You for that statement you must have thought was very, very important, because 26 times You said it in one chapter. Mercy endureth forever. Bless us now as we think of that which is eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanksgiving morning. Turn the treble up, please, equal to this one, and bass down. Christmas morning, I'm going to have a good time. But Thanksgiving morning, I want to talk to you about what I did on the 4th of July. Oh, I wish you'd get my truth as well as you get my mistakes. I really wish you would.
Thanksgiving morning, I stayed home a little later than usual. I got in the car and drove out to the cemetery and spent some time near Mother's body. Then I drove to the church and prepared my heart a little bit for the service we had. And then I decided to thank God for some things. And I thank God for the most important thing first, food. I think that life is a matter of priorities. And I thank God for clothing. And I thank God for home and family and the usual things, you know, house and car and furniture and food and such things, you know, peace in America and food and so forth. Then I got under conviction a little bit. It suddenly dawned on me that I've been thanking God for that which is temporal. Food, clothing, house, car, food. And I got to thinking, why is it that we thank God so much more for that which is temporary and temporal than that which is permanent? And I was reading in my tour through the Psalms. I make tours through the Psalms constantly. I was reading the 136th Psalm, and I got to reading, His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. And I got to thanking God that His mercy endureth forever. Then I decided to get my Cruden's Concordance out and look up the word endureth and the words endureth forever. And I had a little revival meeting in my office. Had a little spell, took my shoes off, danced around, and shouted a while, and praised the Lord. I found out that there are only 7 things in the Bible that are mentioned as enduring forever. It is only said about 7 things that they endure forever. And I got to looking them up in the Bible and studying the Bible a while and checking and seeing what those things are. I read all the scriptures about every scripture in the Bible that mentions endureth forever. I read it. And I got rejoicing about those things that always will be. And so I want you tonight to sort of come to my office, and not after the service, please. I want you to sort of come to my office tonight, and I want you to share with me the joy of that which endureth forever. I call your attention tonight. There's only 7 things in the Bible that are mentioned as enduring forever. Now let me tell you the word enduring. The word enduring means it continues through struggle. If you endure hardship, that means that you take the hardship and you come out on the other side as you have gone through the hardship. Now there are 7 things that the devil has attacked that have endured the hardship and the attack of the devil that will endure forever. The first thing mentioned in the Bible that endureth forever is righteousness. Righteousness endureth forever. Psalm 111 and verse 3, Psalm 112, verse 3, Psalm 112 and verse 9. His righteousness endureth forever. Now, what is the righteousness of God? The word righteousness could be called justice. The word righteousness could be called holiness. Let me explain what it means. God always does that which is just and right. And that endures forever. Now, it's been attacked, but His righteousness endures forever. Now, for example, it says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, that means that man is a sinner. Now, it says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. It says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That means that a holy God says, if you all have sinned, and there's a price on sin. Now, the righteousness of God says that that price must be paid. It must be paid. Now, that means that your sin debt is going to be paid. Now, you have one choice of two. You can go to hell forever and pay it yourself. But the Lord Jesus Christ has come from heaven as God incarnate, lived a perfect life, never sinned, went to the cross and paid the sin debt that he did not owe. Now, you owe a sin debt that you need not pay, and he paid a sin debt that he did not owe. That means when you put your faith in Christ, that means the righteousness of Jesus Christ is charged, as I've talked to you on Wednesday night about imputation, is charged to your record, and you are righteous in the eyes of God Almighty. Now, that means this. That means that righteousness endureth forever. That means that when God put his righteousness down against my record, it'll be there tomorrow. And it'll be there next year. And it'll be there 100 years from now. And it'll be there 1 million years from now. And it'll be there 10 million years from now. And it'll always be there. His righteousness endureth forever. Now, your righteousness won't endure forever. You'll do something good, then do something bad. So, your righteousness won't do. You see, the Bible didn't say the wages of sin is joining the church. The Bible didn't say the wages of sin is getting baptized. The Bible didn't say the wages of sin is taking communion. The Bible didn't say the wages of sin is turning over a new leaf. The wages of sin is death, and you've got to take care of this sin debt if you ever go to heaven. But, hallelujah, Jesus Christ took care of that sin debt for me. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And the moment that I trusted him as my Savior, not only did he remove the... and will not record my... but he gave me his own on my record in heaven, and the Bible says his righteousness endureth forever. Not yours, but his. Not the El Papa's, but his. Not the priest across the street, but his. Not the rabbi, but his. That means that you tonight will put your faith in Jesus Christ, realizing that you're a sinner, and you owe a sin debt. By the way, you take his debt or you pay your own. It's trust his righteousness or pay your own sin debt in hell forever. You say, preacher, I don't believe in hell. That doesn't change the book a bit. His righteousness endureth forever. Praise God tonight when I trusted him and he put his righteousness on my record. It'll always be there. For his righteousness endureth forever. Now, I had a spell last Thursday. I was happier about that than you are. I mean, I was running around the office saying, praise God, it'll always be there. I mean, every good thing about Jesus is on my record, and it'll always be there. He's taken my sins off the record, put his goodness on my record, because he took my sins off my record and put them on his record, and put my sins on his record. His righteousness on my record, and it endureth forever. Now, the second thing the Bible says endureth forever is, and boy, I'm going to hang on this for a while, his mercy. His mercy endureth forever. Now, what does it mean? 26 times in one chapter, it says his mercy endureth forever. I doubt if there's anything in the Bible that said as much as that. It may be the most often repeated, statement in all the Bible. Now, if God chose to put it in the Bible that many times and several other times too, it must be pretty important. His mercy endureth forever. Now, what is his mercy? His mercy is the salvation that he made. His mercy is that he came to earth. His mercy is that I lived a perfect life. His mercy is that he gave me an alternative. I can go to heaven or hell whether I trust my own righteousness or his righteousness. That's what it means in Romans 10:1. Brethren, my prayer to God and heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. For they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I rather reckon they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That means you go right ahead and try to earn your own salvation, and you'll go to hell. That's what it means. It's exactly. And you can go ahead and trust the priest across the street and die and go to hell. I'm saying you've got one choice of two. Your own righteousness, which means you've got to pay your own sin debt, or his righteousness, and that means he paid your sin debt, and that's what the plan of salvation is all about. And that mercy endureth forever. What does that mean? That means only one plan of salvation. Mr. Schofield's full of prunes when he said they're saved in the Old Testament by keeping the law, in the New Testament by grace. He's full of prunes when he talks about the dispensation of grace. Dispensation of grace started when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. And it won't end, and the last person is saved in the end of the millennium. His plan of salvation endures forever, but it's been attacked. And Mr. MacArthur comes and says, you've got to accept him as Lord. Make him the Lord of your life if you go to heaven. But his mercy endureth that attack. And our Church of Christ friends say, the baptistry washes your sins away, but his mercy endureth that attack.
And our Seventh-day Adventist friends say, you've got to keep the Sabbath day. But His mercy endures that attack. Let me tell you something, folks. This wonderful, wonderful plan of salvation endureth forever. And there I was, dancing around my study last Thursday morning, having a spell praising God, just like you aren't. And I was having a spell and praising God, saying, praise God, the righteousness recorded on my record will always be there. And the salvation that was brought by His mercy is always my salvation. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His righteousness endureth forever. There's a third thing that sort of sparked my little revival in my study. And that is this. His judgment endureth forever. That's in Psalm 119, 160. His judgment. Now to what you're saying. And you're right. If you're saying what I think you're saying. But don't say it. You're saying, boy, that means with the great white throne judgment, when the unsaved names are called, and God says, is your name in this book? And you say, I joined the church. God says, is your name in this book? But you say, I did some good deeds. God said, is your name in this book? But you say, I gave United Way. God says, is your name in this book? But I took the Lord's Supper. But is your name in this book? But I was sprinkled as a baby. But is your name in this book? But I was confirmed when I was 12. But is your name in this book? And God said, if you've not trusted me, your name is not in this book. I don't care how many churches you join. I don't care how many churches you belong to, how many Lord's Suppers you take, how many sacraments you take, how many sins you confess to El Papa. I don't care. The question is, did you ever get your name in the book? And you look and say, dear God, I heard old-fashioned people preach about that. I went down to hear Howes one time, but I thought he was a fool. You think what you want to think, brother. When God casts you into hell, His judgments endure forever. And don't you count on purgatory. And don't you count on your backslidden friends praying you out of purgatory. And don't you count on a court of appeal or an appellate court. Don't you count on it. Once God casts you into hell, you'll be there forever and ever and ever, for His judgments endure forever. But here's the main thing it means. There's another judgment. It took place on Calvary. When Jesus Christ judged my sins, He stood on the banks of eternity at Calvary. Calvary, into which all the streams of history pour, and where all of the rivers of prophecy originate. Calvary, where God became flesh. Calvary, all the sins of all the universe, of all the people who ever lived, ever will live, were placed on the record of Jesus Christ. And God the Father looked at Him and said, guilty! And God turned His back on the Son, and Jesus said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And there on Calvary, my sins were judged. And His judgments endureth forever. That's what the Apostle Paul meant when he said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. That word condemnation means judgment. There is therefore now no judgment. Why? My sins were judged on Calvary. And that's what the Lord Jesus meant in John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. And that word condemnation means judgment. That means that there is therefore now no judgment to me because my sins were judged on Calvary. And I shall not come into judgment because my sins were judged on Calvary. And there's not going to be a time when I stand before God and God's going to put my good deeds over here, my bad deeds over here, and say, you got more good than bad, go to heaven, or more bad than good, go to hell. Bless God, my sins have already been judged. And my Bible says, His judgments endureth forever. And that means tonight, I'll never have to face my sin because He judged my sin and His judgments endureth forever. So I just sort of ran around the office and had a spell. I'd like to see some of you folks just say, whoopee, one time. Or just get real wild and say, hot dog. I kept on reading. His righteousness endureth forever. When He put my name, His righteousness there beside my name, it's always there. His mercy endureth forever. When He saved my soul, it'll always be saved. His judgments endureth forever. When he judged my sins on the cross, they'll always be judged on the cross, and I'll never face him again. I kept on reading. It says in 1 Peter 1:25, his word endureth forever. The old book has been attacked by Hitler, but Hitler's dead and in hell, and the book goes on. Hitler said he'll stamp out the Bible in his generations. Hitler stamped out, and the Word of God continues. Thomas Paine put on his printing presses. He said the day will come that they'll never print Bibles in America or print Bibles anymore. And they took the very printing press on which he printed that garbage and printed Bibles after his death. Mussolini's have come and gone, tried to stamp out the Bible, but the Bible endures forever. Modernists have tried to stamp out the words of God, but the Bible endures forever. His words endure forever. Let me tell you something, brother. This is the book that will endure forever right here. When the NIV Bibles have sent the last person to hell, they're going to send to hell. The Bible will endure forever. When the Revised Standard Version of the Bible is in hell, where all of its translators are, this word right here endureth forever. Man alive, look at there, folks, and you watch I Love Lucifer on the television when you've got a book that endures forever. And you read your dirty magazines when you got a book that endures forever. Boy, I ran around in my office and I said, hallelujah, hallelujah. His righteousness written on my record endureth forever. His mercy that brought salvation endureth forever. His judgment of my sins on Calvary endureth forever. And the blessed words of God endure forever. That means this. That means what you better do. You better spend your life on that stuff that's going to hang around all the time. Orpah's not going to endure forever. What's that white-haired man that belongs along? Donahue. Donahue's not going to endure forever. As the world turns, it's not going to endure forever. Your soap operas are not going to endure forever. Your Cosmopolitan and Ladies' Home Journal magazines are not going to do it forever. Your swimming suit issue of sports magazines not going to do it forever. I don't know what you're going to do, brother. I'm not going to spend my time sitting there watching some dumb program that's going to, as soon as the ratings go down, it's going to go off. Bless God, the ratings are always up on this old book. His word endureth forever. I was in my office on Thanksgiving morning. I'm inviting you there to have a spell with me. I was in my office on Thanksgiving morning, and I looked up my concordance and looked up the things that endure forever. Only seven things endure forever. I was out soul winning years ago. One little lady to Christ, and I said, now, ma'am, Bible says, what does the Bible say you're going to go if you die? She said, to heaven. I said, then where are you going to go when you die? She said, to hell. Oh, I said, wait a minute now. I said, the Bible says, John 5:24, read to her, says you have everlasting life. Where does the Bible say you're going to go? She said, to heaven. I said, good. Then where are you going when you die? She said, to hell. I said, now, wait a minute. I quoted John 3:15, John 3:16, John 5:12, and Acts 1:12. I quoted all the Bible verse at Ephesians 2:8-10. I said, where does the Bible say you're going to go? She said, to heaven. I said, then, okay, where are you going to go when you die? She said, to hell. I said, now, I've got a problem here. I said, God says you're going to heaven, and you say you're going to hell. I'm trying to decide who I ought to believe, you or God. And a big smile came across her face, and she said, why don't we both believe God? And brother, as far as I'm concerned, that's the minute she got saved, when she decided to believe God. Praise God tonight, as I did last Thursday, in this Thanksgiving season, three cheers for the fact that His righteousness endureth forever. And three cheers for the fact that His mercy endureth forever. And three cheers for the fact that His judgment of my sin endureth forever. And three cheers for the fact that His word endureth forever. The fifth thing that caused me to have a spell Thanksgiving Day was this. Psalm 135, verse 13. His name endureth forever. Now, what does it mean by His name? It means, a person's name means he stands by his word. How you keep your promises is what your name is. Boy, you can set your clock by Him. Oh, boy, I tell you what, you can depend on Him. That means He has a good name. Now, when He says His name endureth forever, that means He will do what He said He would do.
and kings have failed, and kingdoms have crumbled. King Jesus' name endureth forever. And Kaiser Wilhelms, and Hitlers, and Mussolinis, Clintons. I'm going down a little each time. When they have failed and passed away, and the Bible rejectors, and the Saddam Husseins, and all the rulers and dictators who tried to outlaw this blessed book, when they're burning in hell, praise God, the name of Jesus endureth forever. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so, for Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Sweetest note instead of song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Thank God today, when names have crumbled and reputations have been destroyed and kingdoms are no more, and the moon turns as black as nighttime and midnight, and the sun turns black as sackcloth of hair, and the mountains become valleys and valleys become mountains, and the earth trembles and shakes like you shake a bowl or a bottle in your hand, praise God, the name of Jesus will endure. His name endureth forever. That means what He said He'll do, He'll do. And that means when He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, that means every single person from this person in the corner up here, all the way over this corner and around this great building, who will walk down this aisle tonight and say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know Jesus died for me. I'm trusting in Him as my Savior. We have His Word that endureth forever, that you'll be God's child and have everlasting life. His righteousness, recorded on my record, endureth forever. His mercy that brought me so great salvation, endureth forever. His judgment of my sin on Calvary, endureth forever. His word He's given to me, endureth forever. The NIV will endure for a while. The old King James will endure forever. Revised Standard Version will endure for a while. The old King James will endure forever. Reader's Digest condensed version, I wish it condensed it some more. It'll pass away, but the King James will endure forever. American Bible Society, new hippie type version, will pass away, but the King James Bible endureth forever. The Catholic New Age version will pass away, but the King James Bible endureth forever. Zondervan can make all the money she wants to on her heathen, false, satanic Bible, the New International Version, but the King James endureth forever. The Southern Baptists can make all they want to on their heathen version, good news to modern man, but praise God, the old King James Bible endureth forever. And when those Bibles have crumbled and are gathering dust on bookshelves, this book right here will keep right on going. When I get to heaven, this is the one I'm going to read and study. I kept on looking in my concordance to find out what endureth forever. I shouted when I realized His righteousness endureth forever. I was preaching down in Longview the other day. I got excited. After the service, a fellow walked up to me and said, don't you get a little overexcited? I said, no, sir, I get a little underexcited. If we ever stopped to realize what we have, we'd get more excited than any of us get. I mean, brother, if we ever just stopped to realize, do you understand what I'm saying? You understand on your record in heaven, the works of Jesus Christ are listed under your name? You understand not a sin is recorded against your record and will never be recorded against your record? You understand this book right here is the eternal book that will always be alive? Number 6, His truth endureth forever. What does that mean? That means His doctrine never changes. You young folks over here, listen to me while I'm preaching. Hey, you listen to me while I'm preaching to you too. You're going to have fun? Go to the picture show. His truth endureth forever. And that means I taught my Sunday school class this morning, brother, the truth of God that they had 2,000 years ago is the same truth we have today. Same doctrine of 2,000 years ago. His message never changes. His methods never change. His standards never change.
If my grandma was supposed to wear modest length skirts, then you're supposed to wear modest length skirts. If my grandma didn't wear breeches, you're not supposed to wear breeches. If my grandma didn't wear shorts, you're not supposed to wear shorts. My grandpa got a haircut, you're supposed to get a haircut. I'm saying his truth endureth forever. He never changes. We change. He never changes. Weather changes. He never changes. Friends change, so-called. He never changes. Nations change. He never changes. Churches change. He never changes. Governments change. He never changes. Schools change. He never changes. Our looks change. In my case, I've gotten prettier as the years have come by. But he never changes. Our ages change, but he never changes. Our neighborhoods change, but he never changes. Our loved ones change, but he never changes. Praise God tonight for that which never changes. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm not going to spend my life on things that are going to flee or pass away. I'm going to spend my life on a book that's eternal. I'm going to spend my life on work that's eternal. I'm going to spend my life telling folks about a righteousness that's eternal. I'm going to spend my life telling folks about a judgment that's eternal, never or endureth forever. Number 7. I think I'll hang on this one a little while. In Psalm 11, verse 10, it says, his praises endureth forever. That means I'm praising him now. And boy, I ran him out of my office Thursday morning, praising God because his praises endure forever. Some of you folks get to heaven, you have to rearrange your entire behavior at church. Instead of two people up shouting, everybody be shouting but two people. Well, I'm getting a little worried about you. Not as worried as I am about you. Funny thing, you can go watch the Bulls play basketball. And you don't get upset because folks get happy. But Michael Jordan didn't endure forever. Your hero is now batting .232 in a winter baseball league. Your hero has struck out 32 times out of 99 times at bat. But Jesus ain't never struck out. His praise endureth forever. I praise him now. I'll praise him in heaven. I'll praise him at the rapture. I'll praise him at the marriage of the Lamb. I'll praise him at the judgment seat. I'll praise him when he comes again to earth. I'll praise him when he sets up his kingdom. I'll praise him for 1,000 years in that kingdom. I'll praise him in the New Jerusalem. And I'll praise him forever and ever and ever and ever. So in this Thanksgiving season, I just thank God for what endureth forever. The other day I went down to McDonald's. I finally got down to some of you folks' places of joy. Some of you are happy, haven't been happy all during the sermon. It was Tuesday afternoon, about 5 o'clock. And I got me a McLean. That's one of those low-calorie sandwiches. Went back to my room, drank me a Diet Pop, and ate a McLean. That was 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock, that McLean had worn off. Now I figure if one McLean will cause you to lose weight, two McLeans will cause you to lose twice as much weight. Testify to that, would you? I went back to McDonald's, got me another McLean. Before I got through the church that night, that one had worn off. And I didn't want to break my record. I have never driven by McDonald's without stopping. I don't like to show partiality to one McDonald's. Would you believe I got a third one after church? At about 2 o'clock in the... But anyway, everything passes away. The day will come when I'll not walk out that door. You younger people will be here.
And somebody else will walk out that door, and I won't be behind this pulpit. In fact, I'm not behind it much anyhow. But the day will come and somebody else will stand behind this pulpit. Somebody else will preach. Somebody else will pastor this church. The day will come when somebody else will lead this choir. The boardway will be gone and someone else will be leading the choir. The day will come when others will fill the choir loft. The day will come when someone else will stand and read the scripture and go to sleep while he's praying. You say, don't you think you'll make him mad? He's asleep now. He don't hear what I'm saying. So I want to say this. Let's enjoy life while we have it. And let's praise God. We have this church and each other. But all this is temporal. This building will pass away. Howells Anderson College will pass away. Let's rejoice in it and thank God for it. But let's put our biggest praises and our greatest thanksgiving where it ought to be. Let's put it on those things that endure forever. And so I say to God, I love you tonight. And I want to praise you, as I said Thursday morning, I want to praise you and I want to thank you that your righteousness is on my record and it endureth forever. I want to thank you that your mercy has brought so great a salvation. And I have that salvation beating in my breast, and after this body has ceased to breathe and this heart no longer beats, and these arms are folded across my chest, and these lips are silent in death. Thank you that the salvation beats in my breast and doeth forever. And thank you that that judgment of my sins on Calvary, when Jesus judged my sins, thank you that judged them all. And the judgment of my sins endureth forever. And thank you that this old book that I've preached for 49 years, thank you, this old book that I've loved and I've read and I've preached and I've memorized and I've defended 49 years. Thank you that it endureth forever. And thank you that your wonderful name endureth forever. And thank you that your truth endureth forever. And thank you that your praises endure forever. Tonight, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Dr. Curtis Hudson still struggles to live. I called him Wednesday afternoon late. His wife answered the phone, and I said, I don't mean to be a wart, but I said, people keep asking me how Brother Hudson's doing. How is he? She said, do you want to talk to him? I said, I'd love to. She put him on the phone, and his voice was weak. Throat was dry, and his tongue was thick. And I said, Brother Hudson, how are you doing? And he said, I'm doing pretty good. I said, are you able to get up and go to church? He said, no. He said, I'm in bed most of the time. He said, I got up and sat on the back porch just a little while today. I said to him, I said, Dr. Hudson, is there anything I can do? And one of the most complimentary words ever said to me, he said, no, I don't know of anything I need. But if I needed anything, I know whom I'd call. I'd call you, Dr. Hiles. Please forgive me for saying this, but I'd rather have this than a PhD from Harvard University. He said, you're the most loving and generous man that I've ever known. And he said, I hope you live a long time and have a long life. And he said, keep the flag flying. Keep the flag flying up there. It doesn't matter tonight how much money Dr. Hudson has in the bank. It doesn't matter whether he had a lot of friends, a lot of enemies. That doesn't matter now. All that matters is he's put his trust and faith in that which endureth forever. Thank God on this Thanksgiving season. His righteousness endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His judgment endureth forever. His word endureth forever. His truth endureth forever. And his praises endureth forever. I looked at my watch. It's getting about 5 minutes to 10. We got to start the service after a while. I went to the washroom, wiped all the tears off my eyes and wiped the mascara that was coming down my eyes off. Put my shoes on, got me a wash rag. I wear patent leather shoes so I don't be shine. Got me a wash rag and shined them right quick. Straightened myself up, got my towel on, buttoned my collar and put on my coat. Went out in the hallway. praising God. Thanking God on Thanksgiving Day. His righteousness, His mercy, His judgment, His word, His name, His truth, and His praises endure forever. Where are you spending your time? And what are you investing your life? That? Houses, lands, money, popularity, pleasure, fun? Six Flags over the Midwest, or Indiana, Illinois, St. Louis, wherever it is. It won't be there after a while. No, it won't. Bears won't endure forever. Cubs won't endure forever. Bulls won't endure forever. Heifers won't either. I don't know what you're going to do. Praise God. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm investing my life in that which endureth forever. Our Heavenly Father.